Okay. Page 708. Last week we just briefly started the Parshim B'chukaisai. We explained last week that B'chukaisai means the concept of chuka engraved. And we said that the only way a person could become a telechu, the way a person can become a goer from one level to a much greater level, is only by having the Torah mitzvahs in a way of B'chukaisai. And therefore, it doesn't only mean keeping the mitzvahs, it means it has to be done in a way that you and the mitzvah become one. Like, written letter and parchment is two separate things that can rub off. When you have chakikah, it's engraved, it's part of the stone itself. So therefore, it says that the Judaism of the Jew has to be one with the Jew. So the Torah says like this, Im b'chol kaisi telechu, if you will follow my decrees, and Rashi says, it doesn't mean keeping mitzvahs, because right away it says mitzvaysi tishmeru. You should keep the mitzvahs. So what does Rashi say it means? To be diligent in learning Torah. That means not only learning Torah, but you should make an effort to learn Torah. And to do them. In other words, not only does it mean to, so to speak, keep the guard the mitzvahs, observe them, but you actually do it in action. You can't fulfill tefillin by looking at it. You know, you can't fulfill the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles by looking at them. You have to actually vasisim meisim. You have to do the mitzvah. So Hashem says we're going to learn a few psukim. Then there's a lot here to discuss. What happens? Hashem says if you will go in the ways of my mitzvahs, then v'nasati gishmeichem me'itam, I'll give your rain in the proper time. V'nasna aretz yivula, and the earth will produce its produce. V'eita sadi yitein piryei, and the fruit of the tree will give its fruit. And yevihisel chamdayish is bati, your threshing will last until the vintage. The vintage will last until the sowing. It means the food will last from one season to the next. That you'll always have food. I'm just going quickly, and then we're going to discuss it and then go back to the details. V'achaltam lachmen cham laseva. You will eat your bread to become full. And the Farshim explained, what does that mean? Something you can eat a lot, eat, and you're not full. Or it doesn't stay in your stomach for a long time. You know, you can have a full meal, an hour later you're hungry again. Because there's no brach in the food. So here it says, V'achaltam lachmecham laseiva, the bread is going to make you full, meaning a little food will last a long time. Vishartam levato ba'atzachem, and you'll dwell securely in the land, and then Hashem will give peace, and all the very good brachas, so to speak, that Hashem will give the Jewish people. So there's a number of issues over here that the Mefarshim discuss. Number one, why is the Torah only mentioning physical rewards for mitzvahs? We know, you learn Pirkei Avos, you do mitzvahs, you get Olam Haba, and everybody tells you Olam Haba is better. This world is only temporary, it's only 120 years. Olam Haba is forever, Gan Eden, Paradise, whatever you want to call it, that lasts forever. The Torah should say, you go to Gan Eden, you'll be with all the great tzaddikim. What does it say? I'm going to give rain, I'm going to give, you know, all these things. Why is it that the Torah is given all these brachas? And then, many psukim later, the Torah says, and if you don't keep, comes all the curses. Okay? So like, why is the Torah dealing, basically, with all these things? So some Mefarshim explain that these basically are hidden miracles. In other words, it's that understood that you're going to get spiritual reward. You do mitzvahs, you're going to get spiritual reward. Here, the Torah is teaching us like this. Normally, keeping mitzvahs doesn't make you rich. Keeping mitzvahs will get you Gan Eden. If anything, keeping mitzvahs will make you broke. You have to. Yom Shabbos is expensive. Yom Tov is expensive. Tuition is expensive. I mean, everything is expensive. If anything, keeping mitzvahs makes you broke. And yet the Torah says, you keep mitzvahs, you're going to get rich. What is the Torah teaching us? The Torah is teaching that you think, you as a Jew think, what does mitzvahs have to do with money, with wealth? The Torah says, I want you to know, I'm going to show you, Hashem says, that even when you keep ruchnius, when you keep spiritual things, you're also going to be blessed physical, even though normally it doesn't do. But there's a number of issues over here, okay? In fact, it brings down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. He brings down 7 answers to this question, why Hashem is talking about physical rewards. Now, and then there's an 8th reason, which he doesn't mention, which we'll discuss. And that is as follows. There's a very interesting Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva says a very interesting concept. The Rambam says, reward for mitzvahs is not physical. The reward for mitzvahs is Gan Eden. Why is the Torah telling us over here, I'm going to give you all the physical rewards? So the Rambam says it's not reward. The Rambam says what the Torah says over here is a very profound statement, so to speak. Hashem says, if I see that you're making an effort to keep mitzvahs, I'm going to make your life easier. Not as a reward for the mitzvah. The reward of the mitzvah is Gan Eden, spiritual. Hashem says, listen, you're going to keep the mitzvahs. I'm going to give you all your physical needs. So therefore you won't have to worry about making a living. You won't have to worry about fights because of the Nasati Shalom Ba'aretz. All the problems that a person will have that hinder them from observing Torah mitzvahs and from studying Torah, Hashem says, I'm going to take it away from you. But the Rambam says, it's not the reward of the mitzvah. The reward of the mitzvah is Gan Eden. This is side benefit.
A bonus.
The bonus is, I'm going to make your life easier to do Torah mitzvahs. Yeah, that's exactly what the Rambam says. The Ibn Ezra says, why does the Torah say the physical rewards? Because we understand Gan Eden. We don't know Gan Eden. We know money. Hashem is going to tell us the reward of Gan Eden, nobody's going to buy it. It's like a little kid, you tell him to do well in school, you don't tell him, you do well in school, you know you're going to get a good job later. A 3-year-old doesn't get it. You tell him you get a sticker, you get a candy, you get, you know, you get something. Today you have to get an iPad. Years ago a lollipop was enough. Today you need to give him an iPad. Huh? Apple. iPhone. So, the Ebenezer says, it's a very simple thing. The Torah really means Ruchnias. Why is the Torah using physical things? Because that's what we can understand. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, like a little bit what we just mentioned, is Hashem wants to tell us miracles. Normally, mitzvahs have nothing to do with rain. It wasn't doing the mitzvah's going to rain or not. So Hashem says, like he says, rain does not naturally fall when a person observes mitzvahs. Okay?
What, Hashem said in the
Shemai. So the Torah mentions that I'm giving you, in addition to Gan Eden, I'm going to show you the way your mitzvahs are connected to the physical thing. And this is a very interesting, this itself demands really a lengthy discussion, because we find, when people would ask tzaddikim, and the Rebbe was very, very common, this concept. Somebody had a health problem with their stomach, or physical health. The Rebbe would tell them, be careful in kashrus. Be more careful in kosher. Somebody had a problem with having children or whatever, the Rebbe would tell them, be careful in mikveh. Somebody had a problem with whatever, check your mezuzahs. And that's what the tzaddikim, as a rule, even the Gemara alludes to many of these things. The question is, what does a stomach ache have to do with kosher? I mean, a lot of goyim eat chazen, they don't have stomach aches.
Even Jews.
Yeah, a lot of Jews eat chazen, they also don't have stomach aches. No, but if you think about it, what in the world does that have with this? One thing has nothing to do with the next. But Rabbeinu Bechaya over says, and this is a unique concept of Torah. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, the Torah is showing us that spiritual and physical are connected. Mm-hmm. That they are physically connected between, that you do a mitzvah, you're going to get rain. You do an aveid, like we say in Shema, Im Shema Yatishmu, V'nasati metar artzachem. You're going to get rain. You don't listen, then v'atzer sashemayim v'lo yiyamata. Then you won't be rain. What is Hashem saying? Because in Hashem's creation of the world, and the world and God, and Torah and God and world, it's not separate things. There's no such thing as God and world. Torah and physical. There is no such thing. It is all one big chalent of godliness. Godliness is physical, godliness is spiritual, godliness is everything under the sun. So the Torah says, physical rain, it says over here, v'nasati gishmeichem v'itam, physical rain is connected to the person's action. That's what Hashem is teaching us over here. Don't think that religion is one thing and world is something else. God and Torah is one thing and the world is something else. It's not true, the Torah says. The Torah wants us to know that you keep kosher, you will have a healthy stomach. You will do this. There's exceptional cases. That's another issue. But the Torah is teaching us that it's 100% connected, you know, to tefillin, or Shabbos, or Kashrus, or, you know, somebody might not have a problem, somebody will have a problem with Parnassa. The Rebbe used to tell them, you should be more careful in Shabbos. Like, again, because Shabbos has to do with Parnassa. Shabbos, in fact, there was a famous story. Somebody once came to the Rebbe, they weren't religious, and they needed shidduch for their daughter. And they came to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, this is the early years of the Rebbe. And the people lived in Newark, New Jersey then. I know the rabbi that was involved, and not the people, I know the rabbi that was involved in the case. He passed away already. But he said, the Rebbe answered them, you will close your store on Shabbos, you will get a shidduch for your daughter. They couldn't do it. You know, it was a big test. And they weren't religious. And it went on for years. I'm going to make the long story short. And the Rebbe told them, you close your store on Shabbos, you will find a shidduch for your daughter. And they couldn't do it and whatever, and the daughter didn't get married for an extended period of time. There were the riots in the 60s in Newark, you know, New York riots, or Chicago, Newark, you know, there was the riots in Newark. Lapel, that person's store got burned down. The store got burned down. So to speak, they were forced to close on Shabbos. There was no store left. 2 weeks later, the girl met a boy and got engaged. They ever told him, you're going to keep the store closed on Shabbos, you're going to find the shidduch. They didn't have the seichel to listen years earlier. But again, all these things are connected. Shabbos is amuna, you have faith, then God produced, you know, all these things. So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, the Torah only mentions the more surprising, and not the obvious natural ones of Ruchnius. The Torah is telling us that the physical and the spiritual attack are interconnected. Somebody is somebody sick in the house, you check the mezuzahs. Mezuzahs have to be with Shem, Dalsis, Yisrael. It has to do with Shemira. It has to do with protection.
Why Tzaddikim, they have more hard life?
That's David HaMelech asked the question. David HaMelech asked your question. I don't know. What?
It's not simply that if somebody keeps mezuzahs, Kadosh Baruch Hu give him tools to be able to make it. Somebody needs to keep Shabbos and you need parnusa, you need health.
Yeah, if you keep Shabbos and don't go to work, you're not going to get parnusa either. No, I promise you.
Rabbi, you answered me his question once.
If somebody makes somebody work, you have to give him tools, no?
Kadosh
Baruch Hu has to give us tools to be all able to handle religious life.
He gives us the tools. It's called the Torah. He says,
I mean not Torah, I mean the parnusa and then health and all this.
What's the chicken and what's the egg? Who says if you have parnusa you can keep Shabbos? Maybe by keeping Shabbos you get parnusa. That's what the Torah says here.
It doesn't matter,
no, it's a very big difference. The Torah says it begins from Torah. In b'chukayse teleichu, then you'll have parnusa. Gishmechem, by the way, doesn't only mean rain. Gishmechem means gashmius. The whole Gashmiut, Gishmeichem, the whole Gashmius. The Torah says it doesn't what people think, okay, when I make a lot of money, then I'll learn and then I can keep Shabbos. The Torah says you got it wrong. It works the other way. In B'chukaisei Telechu, when you keep mitzvahs, so then you get that. The Kuzri says another thing. Why does the Torah use these physical rewards to convince A skeptic means a person who doesn't believe. Because this is, this they see physically before the eyes. Now, the Psad Yigoyen says another reason why the Torah says here physical rewards. The Psad Yigoyen says like this. Before the Torah was given, people worshipped idols. So, in their mind, all their needs came from the idols. That they thought all their money, everything came from the idols. So now Hashem gave them the Torah and said, no more idols. So people are going to think, so how am I going to live? So Hashem said, don't worry, I'll give you the parnassus straight for me. Okay, the Ikim rites are for the nation as a whole, so like this. The Ikim answer is a very interesting answer, and he says like this. Certain rewards over here, the Torah is giving to the nation. For instance, rain, yeah? If one person keeps mitzvahs and one person doesn't keep mitzvah, it doesn't only rain on the person that keeps mitzvahs. It would sound, if you keep mitzvahs, I'll give you rain. So if you rain, your farmer is going to get, but your neighbor who doesn't keep it won't get rain. These brachas that Hashem is giving over here is for the nation. He says, Gan Eden, spiritual reward, that's for individuals. Here Hashem's talking to the Jews as a nation. He says, as individuals, you do mitzvahs, you're going to get Gan Eden. You're going to get all spiritual rewards. But Hashem says, as a nation, I want you to know, you're going to get rain, and I'll give you peace, and you'll live secure on the land. That's all speaking to the nation as a nation. Because as a nation, you can't have rain in one house and rain not in the other. I mean, it says not going to be a reward. So they all go on one side of the street, there's the rain.
It will be rain or it will not
be rain. You know what? Let me tell you something. Hashem has a good accountant. He has good computers. And he knows exactly how he wants to do what he wants to do.
I believe it or not, Rabbi Shusterman, there's a time that one side of your house, there is rain. The other side of the house, there's no rain. Across the street
but
is raining, and your house is not
raining.
Yes.
This rain is not working.
By the way, Rashi says, "When's the nasati gishmechem beitam?" So Rashi says, "Bilel Shabbos." Rashi says, "Friday night when everybody's home." That's what it means. Beitam in the time. Where's the proper time? Rashi says, "Bilel Shabbos," when everybody is home, you're not going anywhere. So that's when the rain, because otherwise rain gets in the way, You know, to go out, and in the olden times you didn't have cars, You wanted to go out at night, either walking or with a horse, it wouldn't be a good thing. There's a deeper explanation to this, which is really the Ramban and Chassidus. According to, there's a famous argument that we've, we mentioned this a long time ago. There's a very famous argument, fundamental argument between the Rambam and Ramban. The Rambam holds that the ultimate reward of Torah mitzvahs is only Ruchnius. Ultimate. Therefore, even according to the Rambam, it's implied that after Tchias HaMesim and after the dead get up, after that will be another era of neshamas without bodies. Because the ultimate, according to the Rambam, is neshama without a guf. The Ramban, and that's what Kabbalah learns, is that the ultimate reward is dafke physical. Therefore, according to them, the ultimate reward is Tchias HaMesim, not Gan Eden. When the dead will get up, resurrection. After Mashiach comes, all the dead are going to get up, is going to become, and in fact it says that that Moshe Rabbeinu, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, they're all waiting in Gan Eden to be able to come back again in the body for Tchias HaMesim. The ultimate reward, according to Kabbalah and Chassidus, meaning the ultimate revelation of godliness, will only be in the physical world, not in the spiritual world. Why is this? Because if you ask somebody, go to even a religious Jew, let's go over to somebody, and say to them, what is closer to God? Spiritual or physical? What's closer to God? A normal Jew, a normal person will tell you, of course, spiritual is closer to God than physical. That is not only not true, but the truth is, if anything, physical is closer to God than spiritual. Physical brings out a greater level of godliness. It reveals a deeper level of godliness than spirituality does.
How come?
You gotta listen, because it's not easy to understand. But when you hear it over and over and over and over and over, it's going to eventually penetrate the skull. The difference between spiritual and physical. Physical is called in Torah, yesh miayin, something from nothing. When God created the world, bereishis bara elokim es hashamayim ves haaretz. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. The Ramban says that the word bara in Lashon Kodesh, the word bara in Hebrew, only applies to something called yesh miayin, something from nothing. Something from nothing. Physical is something from nothing. Ruchnius, spiritual, is not something from nothing. It's something from something. What does this mean? When a person says the world is created something from nothing, right? That's what Bara is. God created the world something from nothing. Stop to think for 1 second. Who created the world? God. Since when is God nothing? The world was created, yesh miayin, something from nothing. If God created the world, since when is God nothing? Right?
God, I don't understand. Nothing exists. God?
God is something.
Yeah.
So why do you call him nothing? If anything, we're nothing, and God is something. Yeah?
Yeah.
And in fact, there's a pasuk in Shmuel, we read in the Haftarah, in the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Kikel Deot Hashem. Hashem is a God of Deot, of knowledges. So it says, there's Das Tachten, and there's Das Elyon. It's very simple. There's our perspective to the world, and there's God's perspective to the world. Our perspective to the world is, we're something, and God, we don't know for sure. Got to figure it out if he is or isn't. From God's perspective, he exists and we don't. Okay? From Hashem's perspective, the world is ayin miyesh, something, nothing from something. But our perspective is God, the world is yesh miyayin, we are something from nothing. Right? Yesh miyayin means nothing. So the question is, since when is God nothing? How can we say yesh miyayin, Hashem is ayin?
Maybe we are nothing.
No, we don't say that. We say we're yesh, we're something, we came from nothing. Now, so it says one of the answers the Mefarshim give. Why do we say yesh miayin? Because in our world,
physical,
in our world, in our person's world, something only exists if it's existing in the five senses, in the five chushim. If we can see it, smell it, feel it, touch it, hear it, whatever, taste it, then it exists. If we don't see it, smell it, taste it, touch it, whatever, then it doesn't exist. Okay? So it says, why do we call Hashem yesh miayin? Because, of course God is every, but do we see him?
No.
No. Does everybody in the world believe in God? No. If we don't, if we're not taught about God, unless if you have Avraham Avinu, who came on his own, we won't see that there's a God. So in our world, as far as I'm concerned, I exist. That I know. This, I can see me, I can touch me, I can hit me, I exist. God, I have to think about. So we call him Yesh Miayin. Ruchnius, though, spiritual things realize their source. They know where they come from. They feel godliness. The malachim know where they come from. So they're not called Yesh Miayin. They are called Yesh Miyesh because in their world, they perceive God. Spiritual perceives God. Physical doesn't. Okay? So therefore, we're called Yesh Miayin, and Ruchnius is called Yesh Miyesh. Something from something. Now, God has many parts to him. But there's two basic parts of Hashem. That he's Ein Sof, and there's Ein Lo Techila. God has no end. But what's more unique, God didn't have a beginning. Okay? As Rambam says about Hashem, at the beginning of Rambam, his Mitziusoi Me'atzmusoi. Mitziusto Me'atzmuto. He is self-created, self-existent. Nobody made God. Right? Nobody made God. You can have something that has no end, but has a beginning. Because if God made it, God can make it unlimited, yeah, endless. But there was a beginning. God made it. God has two qualities. Ein lo sof. Ein lo techla. Like it says in certain tefillahs. And at the same time, God has no beginning. Okay? Now, what's greater? That he has no end or no beginning? That he has no beginning is greater. Because if you have no beginning, if nobody made you, for sure you never end. You can end, but never end, but you can have a beginning, right? But if nobody made you, you're self-existent, then for sure there's no end. No beginning is greater than no end. Okay, you got it so far? It's not so hard. Right? God is no end and no beginning to him. Right? No beginning is greater than no end. Right? Okay. Now, if spirituality feels its source, then it has a beginning. God. It feels its source. What's the advantage of Ruchnius, therefore?
No end.
Right? So what part of God does Ruchnius reveal? That God has no end. Now listen to this. If Gashmius is something from nothing, right? Because in my world, I don't feel my source, right? I don't feel it. So then where does it come from?
Yes, beginning.
In the world of Gashmius, it feels that it has no beginning. That's why it's called Yesh Miayin. Something from nothing. So what made it? It's self-existent. It doesn't feel its source. If you're unaware of your source, that means in your world, if you're unaware of it, it doesn't exist. Then as far as Gashmius is concerned, Gashmius doesn't have a beginning. It's Yesh Miayin. Therefore, what aspect of God does Gashmius physical reveal? That God has no beginning. So in other words, Ruchnius spirituality reveals what part of God?
Beginning.
That he has a beginning but no end. Physical shows God, because again, physical exists what it thinks it exists.
No.
So physical things, it has no beginning. So what does physical reveal of God? That he has no beginning. Therefore, Gashmius is a greater revelation of God's essence than spirituality is. Therefore, Kabbalah and Ramban hold that the ultimate revelation of God, the ultimate reward, the ultimate revelation of God is going to be in the physical world, not in Ruchnius. And therefore, the Torah says, "In b'chukei say teleichu." If you go in the way of the mitzvahs, you know what the ultimate reward is? Not Ruchnius. Not Gan Eden. The ultimate reward will be Dafke Gashmius. Because physical reveals a deeper, greater level of God than Ruchnius does. And that's why that's the ultimate reward. I'll tell you the truth. One of the miracles of this class is I explain things that I don't understand myself and I explain them. So the truth is, there's no way in the world that you can understand this. Because I was explaining it, doesn't understand it. So there's no way that you can understand. Miracles happen.
And there's no beginning.
There's no beginning.
Okay. So the when we're talking about the gashmius, right? That's the food. That's the appearance, the clothes, everything.
The working, the sleeping. From the minute you wake up in the morning till you go to sleep at night. Sleeping is physical. Eating is physical. Business is physical. Everything is physical. Even talking on the phone is physical.
But the spiritual is closer to the God.
What do you mean?
It's closer because it's the upstairs.
You're openly, it feels God more.
Yeah, that's me.
But in essence, okay, I'll give you an example. If somebody has a very close friend,
and
they have a child that's not so close to them, the friend is closer to them than the child is. Okay? What is a greater relationship?
Who's closer?
Child.
Who's closer?
Child.
His friend. It's close.
The friend is closer in an open revelation, but the child is the essence of the parent.
Yes,
so, in essence, who is a closer relationship? If you're talking about openly, of course, what does Shlomo HaMelech say? Tov shachin karev me'och rochik, right? Shlomo HaMelech says a buzzing. It's better to have a closer friend than a distant brother. Yeah? Okay, but that's only in the open scene relationship. In the open scene relationship, Tev Shachin Karev, a relative, a friend, a neighbor that's close is better. But in essence, who's closer?
Child.
The child. It might not look that way. So Ruchnius is like the close friend of God. Because it's an open relationship. You see godliness in the open. But the truth of the matter is that the Gashmius, that is the child of the brother that's far. Now, can you imagine when the father becomes one with the kid openly? Then it's much closer than the relative, than the friend. When Mashiach comes, Hashem's going to reveal himself in such a way that the Gashmius, we will see then that Gashmius is more essence of Hashem because it reveals a deeper essential level of Hashem that he has no beginning, much more than the open spiritual connection that we see now. Now you're right. Openly, a spiritual connection is much more. Right? Now, Gan Eden openly sees God. Yeah? But let me tell you something. It says in Pirkei Avos, Yafa Sha'achas B'tshuva Ma'isim Tevim Ve'ilam Hazeh Mikol Chai Olam Haba. 1 second of Torah Mitzvahs in this world is better than the whole Olam Haba. Next line in the Mishnah. 1 hour of bliss in the world to come Yafa shosh acha shokeres ruach ba'olam haba mikol chayolam haba. Azeh. 1 hour of bliss in the world to come is better than this world. So which one is it? We say 1 minute of Torah mitzvahs in this world is better than the whole olam haba. And then the Mishnah says 1 minute, 1 second of bliss in olam haba is better than all of this world. All of this world means even when you're doing Torah mitzvahs. So it contradicts itself. What's the answer? It's not a contradiction. When a person does Torah and mitzvahs, let's say the other way. Olam haba, what's olam haba? Gan Eden. What's going on in Gan Eden? The Gemara says, tzaddikim yoshvim, tzaddikim sit, vatriseyem berasheyem, and the crowns are on their head. I don't know, not the crowns the kids make in the preschools. V'nehenim miziv hashchina. They are enjoying the ziv of the shchina. What does ziv mean? A ray. Okay? A light, a shine. I don't know how to say it in Farsi. A ray. Yeah? Now, so Gan Eden, the Gemara says, is only a ray of the shchina. A ray means like sunlight, one ray, one thing, right? So what's so good about Gan Eden? Because you feel it. The ray, you feel it. You see it. You enjoy it. So Gan Eden, the advantage of Gan Eden is that you're enjoying it. But the downside of Gan Eden is it's only a ray. It's only a ray of the Shekhinah. It's only a ziv. It's not the Shekhinah itself. When a person does Torah mitzvahs in this world, they are connecting themselves. Mitzvah means tzavsa v'chibur, binding and connection. You bind yourself to the essence of God, not to the ray of God. You do a mitzvah. Mitzvah means you connect to the essence of God. What's the problem? We don't feel it. But you know what you're connected to? To the essence of God. So the Mishnah is speaking about two separate things. 1 hour of Torah mitzvahs in this world is better than the whole Olam Haba. Why? Because you connect it to the essence of Hashem. The problem is, you don't feel it. What's the mile of Gan Eden? The Mishnah continues. 1 hour of bliss in Gan Eden is better than this world. You feel it. But what are you feeling? Only a ray. What's going to be when Mashiach comes? That according to the Ramban, what the Torah is talking about here is the era of Mashiach. What will happen when Mashiach comes? The essence of Hashem will be revealed. Now we have the essence, but we don't feel it. Gan Eden now has the ray. They feel it, but it's only a ray. When Mashiach comes, we will have the essence of Hashem in a revealed way. We're going to have the best of both worlds. Where can the essence of Hashem be revealed? Dafka through physical mitzvahs. You can't do mitzvahs in Gan Eden. Gan Eden, the guy sitting in Gan Eden, there are a lot of holy Jews up there. They're not bringing Mashiach. Torah mitzvahs now will bring Mashiach. Why? They're sitting in Gan Eden in paradise for 3,000 years, those guys. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yamesh. 3,000 years they're sitting there. Right? But they don't, the essence of God that's going to cause Hashem's essence to be revealed in the physical world can only be done by physical people, physical souls, I mean souls in physical bodies, doing mitzvahs with physical objects. That is going to reveal the essence of God. So it's going to be the best. So what the Torah is saying over here like this, in b'chukai se'telech, when through the era years, you do Torah mitzvahs, in b'chukai se'telech, you should know that the ultimate revelation of God, and we're going to see as we go along in the Pesukim how this comes out, the ultimate revelation of Hashem will be dafki in the Gashmistika world, not in Gan Eden. The Rambam holds you can't have ultimate reward in a guf. It has to be neshama out of a guf, because the guf limits, according to the Rambam, limits the feeling of godliness. But Kabbalah and Ramban hold that not only does it not limit the whole, the ultimate revelation of God is davki in the gashmistical world, and that will happen through mitzvot in the gashmist physical world. But
okay. When you say Shema,
I'm listening.
And
I say it every so often, yeah.
Okay. And then you eat apple and you make a bracha. Don't you feel much better when you say Shema than you eat the apple?
No, I feel better when I eat the apple. Not the apple, if it be chocolate or ice cream, something.
So, whatever.
You're a very spiritual person, maybe. I promise you, I feel better when I eat an apple than when I say Shema. I don't want to lie, I'm telling you the truth.
My gosh.
Chocolate covered apple would be better, probably. Caramel, whatever.
So why they say don't enjoy from the physical life?
Don't enjoy from the physical life for your physical. Yeah. Like we learned in Pirkei Avos, Marbabasa, Marbarima, Marbonachos. But, in fact, I wanted to say some one more thing and you made me, I forgot now. But this whole concept of spiritual versus the physical, okay? The physical is the ultimate revelation of Hashem Himself.
So you have to enjoy it.
Not enjoy it for ourselves, enjoy it for Hashem. To serve Hashem.
So to be when you say you are in Shemayim, you see the rain, you enjoy it. Okay? You compare it. So you have to compare it here also.
The Gemara says, Bayis no, Dira no, Isha no, Marchivim Daita Shalodim. A beautiful wife, a beautiful home, beautiful furniture, broaden the mind of a person. They tell about Rabbeinu Tam and other tzaddikim that when they learned, they put a sack of money in front of them.
What?
They put money on the table. When they were learning Torah, they put money on the table. Why? Because when they saw money, it put the mind in a good mood, and they were able to learn better. So the pleasure has to be to be able to serve Hashem better.
So, if you have richer, you can serve Hashem better.
Usually they don't, but they get, because you got more problems.
Everybody say that don't enjoy the physical thing, don't enjoy the money.
Don't enjoy it in a way for just, you don't live to enjoy the things. You live to be able to serve Hashem better.
Enjoy it for sake
of sin. Okay, I wanted to say another same exact point, bringing it out also the way the gashmis, the thing in this world is better than the Olam Haba. Okay, whatever. If it comes back to me, it'll come back to me.
This is
the way the Ramban also explains this.
Everybody is against physical and Hasidus
need to. Not against the physical.
Enjoying physical for itself, okay? Hasidus told it to elevate all the gashmis and to bring it to Hashem.
To elevate and show that the gashmis world not only doesn't contradict God, but on the contrary, it reveals God.
This is to make Ayin Miyesh.
Hashem created something from nothing. Our job is to make the something back into nothing. Not nothing, back into godliness.
Oh, the reverse.
Right, the reverse. That's why Hashem made Yesh Miayin. Hashem said, now your job is to show that the Yesh is really Ayin, really Hashem.
That's interesting.
So you really, when you're eating this apple, you have to make it?
She must like apples. Yeah.
With chocolate.
Yeah.
So you really have to make that chocolate so tasty under your mouth that is so...
Why did Hashem make
chocolate?
No, it says in Sfarim, it's not a joke, it says in Sfarim, why did God make people have certain temptations like sexual things, eating things? It's a big temptation for people.
Right.
Why? Why did Hashem make that we really love food? Okay? Because if we didn't love food, we wouldn't eat. And if we wouldn't eat, we wouldn't elevate those physical foods. There's a pasuk in Tilum, we say it in Haidu, Friday night before Hodom Pasuk Liol. Re'evim gam tzmeim, nafshem bahem tesatov. The pasuk says, Re'evim gam tzmeim, people are hungry, they're thirsty, nafshem bahem tesatov, their soul is clothed within them. Right? What's the connection? It says a chassidic interpretation. It says, Re'evim gam tzmeim, why did Hashem make a person hungry and thirsty? Because their nefesh is in them and wants to elevate that food. You can't elevate a food if you're not going to eat it. Hashem, if people wouldn't have temptation, they wouldn't have kids. There wouldn't be the whole concept of marriage. There wouldn't be all these things. So certain fundamental things in life, Hashem created a taiva, but the purpose of the taiva is to be able to elevate the world to Kedusha.
How much more
karma
you have, it's harder to do it for Shem
Shammai. That's the avodah of the Jew. That's right. That's the balance. Yeah.
You just said you like the chocolate better, more than you like saying Shema. So
you don't have to publicize it, by the way.
It's already there. So I don't get that. I understand how
the avodah of a Jew is to supposed to enjoy the Shema better than the chocolate. Right. But the purpose of eating the chocolate is to elevate the chocolate. Right. Not because I enjoy it. In other words, the Jew has to understand, why did Hashem make me enjoy this particular food? Because this is the food that I probably need to work on myself for, to eat it for the sake of Hashem. Oh. Not because I enjoy it. That's the ultimate.
Enjoy it, then you save yourself.
But the enjoyment, the enjoyment is what causes you to get started to do it. In marriage, everybody who's married know that looks doesn't make or break a marriage. Correct? Okay, everybody who's married for more than 3 weeks knows that. But in order to get it going, there has to be a physical attraction. And that you build. But the ultimate goal of marriage is not physical attraction. Right? That's only a starter to get it going. So the same thing with all these other things in Avodas Hashem. Hashem gives us the starter, but then we have to develop it in a much deeper, profound, in a much deeper way. So the Gashmis is there, dafka, to elevate the Gashmis in a much higher level. That's why mitzvahs can only be done in the physical world.
So we are responsible, we coming from nothing to something, from something to go to nothing.
Right.
That's okay.
They once, somebody once brought a sefer to a rabbi, for, you know, they have haskama, probations, you know, if his agreement to the book. And it was a guy, the rabbi takes the paper, and he's, with the manuscript, he's, unbelievable. He keeps going for 20 minutes, unbelievable. Finally, afterwards, he gives it back to the guy and says, hey, I'm not writing anything about it. It's not a good book. So a student said to him, after the guy left, the student said to the Rebbe, understand, you kept saying, unbelievable, unbelievable, unbelievable. And then you tell the guy, it's no good. He says, I'll tell you what I meant. Hashem made, from nothing, Hashem made paper. This guy took from the paper and made it such garbage by what he wrote. He made it such garbage. I was marveling how a guy could take something and make it into nothing. He said, that's what I was saying, unbelievable. Nothing more than that. Okay.